Parenting is interesting. If you're a parent, you know. There's times where our kids do funny things, especially when they're really little. Temper tantrums. How many of you remember temper tantrums? Temper tantrums. Yeah. How many of you ever did a temper tantrum? Some of you are just lying right now. Some of you do temper tantrums as adults. But have you ever been in a place where there's a kid just doing something, and you want to act like a parent at that point, or you want to step in, or they're doing something, and you're looking at them like, what in the world is going on inside their head? And obviously, there's a time where they lose it, or how about this? Aside from a temper tantrum, have you been at a place in public where kids are just acting out and acting in ways like, who taught you that? Like, who in the world allows you to be that way? And then you see their parents, and you kind of get the answer. And I say that in total love, because our kids are kind of products of us, and there's times where they step completely out, right? There's times where they do not act like we want them to. There's times where they do. There's times where they have a mental breakdown, a temper tantrum, and they lose all everything. And yet we still love them. I wonder how often we want to ask our kids, where did you learn that? Hoping that they don't say, I learned it by watching you. Hoping that they don't point the finger. Because often, at least in my life, often I see things in my kids and I go, wow, that's me, or that was me. But I wonder how often God looks at us. He says, why in the world are you doing that? That is not what I taught you. That is not, it's not how we raised you. It's not what we do in our kingdom. Where in the world, he wouldn't say where, because he knew exactly where we learned it, right? He knew exactly how we learned it, where it came from. But what's happening? And we can learn a lot about God just from instances like that, because even in those moments, when we're out of character for our family, God loves us. And he loves us no less when we're in that spot than when we were in a spot of complete obedience. Now, as fallen individuals, we struggle with that, right? Our love is conditional, for the most part. Our love is temperamental. Our love is tainted. But God's love is pure, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, God's love. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. Now, John has already kind of gone through love, right? He's already talked about love multiple times, and yet he's going to talk about it again and bring up some interesting thoughts that we're going to dig into. Some of this will be new. Some of it will be repetition. All of it is important. It's all God's word. So I'm going to ask if you would stand. We're going to read 1 John. All the way to Revelation. Just kidding. We're going to read 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world, in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whatever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. This morning, I pray that you teach us through it. You correct us through it. You show us how much you love us through it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. A lot going on in this section. We're not going to tackle it all. We could spend a long time tackling it all. But obviously, John loves love. Right? It's almost dizzying how much he talks about love. And so we're going to dig in there, but what I want us to know is just kind of five things, sounds like a lot, but five things we're going to pull out of this little passage about love. It's not exhaustive. This is not everything about love, but this is what John is telling us. The theme for this morning is we should love because God is love and God loves. Think about that for a second. We should love because God is love and God loves. He is it and he does it, and we should too. And in these verses, the first thing I want us to see is that God's love is from him. God's love is from him. It sounds like a duh moment, like of course, but it's not, because the world does not understand that God's love originates in God. It is part of who he is. It comes from him. There is no other source for it. You can't go to Trader Joe's and buy God's love. You can't go to the main street and buy God's love. Can't buy it at Target. You can't muster it up from yourself. You can muster up a lot of things on your own, your strength, your sense of humor. But you can't muster up God's love without God. It comes from God, and it's pure, it's perfect, and it's godly. It is not the world love. It's not the love that's out there in the world. The world actually has many warped senses of love. We see it. We know it. We're going to get into some of the definitions and descriptions of those things as we go along. But verse 7 says love comes from God. Verse 8, God is love. God is love. Of course it comes from him, because it's a part of him. He doesn't have to get it on the side. He doesn't run out of it. It is part of who he is. It's in his very nature. So when someone senses God's love from us, it only comes from God. If you sense God's love in someone else, there is one source. It's God. Psalm 136:26 says, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Endures forever. God's love, check it out. It endures everything. Hardship, it'll endure. Poverty, it'll endure. Breakups, it'll endure. Our sin, it will endure. Our blatant, repeated sin, it will endure. Our denial, it will endure. The weather? Sure. Politics? Sure. The things we get ruffled feathers about? God's love rolls through it all. You ever seen an old Cadillac hit a bump and it goes like this? It just keeps rolling. God's love just rolls. We freak out. If you know me for more than 7 minutes, you know that it doesn't take much for me to freak out. That's probably half of what Bob's prayer was, is because I have to get on a tin can and fly to Europe. I freak out. God's love is not dictated by a plane going to Europe. It's not dictated by someone having an incorrect, perfect explanation of biblical text. God's love is perfect, and it is always there. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Abounding. God's got so much of it that it comes out of him. It spills. It's just what happens. Have you ever just been just on fire for God? You're in his word, you're in prayer, and it just kind of spills out. People just notice it. That's the nature of God's love. It's different than the love we get elsewhere. It's different than the love that is temperamental. It's different than the love that wants everything first. It's not a selfish love. God's love is perfect. He's the ultimate and only source of that love. And I believe every human on the earth wants it. We crave it. And we seek it elsewhere until we get right with God. Some of us have a history like the kind of the before Christ, where we sought after God's love through other things, sex, drugs, rock and roll, anything else, and it doesn't fit, it doesn't fill it. It's just, whoop, water in a sift, just goes right through it. And we need God's love to fill that thing that only God's love can fill. And he gives it to us in a sense that it has multiple reasons. He gives it to us for us to feel loved, but also for us to love other people, and also for us to love him. So it's this almost this living and active thing that comes from him and returns to him, comes from him and goes to us and goes to others, all from God, all by God. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, big Christianese word, appeasing. It appeases God's wrath. Appeases God's anger. So it's a description of God's love that is from him and in him, and that is perfect is his love that sent his son. That sent his son for us. And not only is it a description of God's love, but it shows where God's love is. The second thing I want us to see is God's love is first. So God's love is from him. God's love is first. This is an interesting thing. God loved us before we loved him. God loved us before we breathed. God loved us while we were sinning. God loved us when we didn't even know who he was. God loves us first. If you look at verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God is made manifest, shown among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins, which I just read. It describes how God initiates it. He's step one. God is first. He loved first. He sent his son first. Think about this. There are people in this world that don't love God, and he still sends his son. His children don't even acknowledge him, and he still loves them. He loves them first. How many of us love people that we needed from them first? Most of the people that we love, it wasn't first. Right? Something catches your eye. Your spouse. Something catches your eye, like, wow, she's kind of cute. Redhead. All right, I like that. Right? And then you kind of get to know one another, and you're like, wow, she's nice too. Go figure. Now I'm really starting to like this person. And then you hang out and you're like, my like is changing. My like is changing to a love. How rad is that? It's rad, but it wasn't first. It needed something, right? It needed something else first, and then it loved in return. God loves first. We really see this in our children. If you have a child, you realize that child needs to do nothing for me to love that child. It's my child. Before it came out of the womb, you love the child. The child can sin, you love the child. The child can slap you, you're mad at the child, but you love the child. That's how God looks at us. He created us. He loves us. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Get that? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is saying, while we disobey God, many of us knowing that it's disobedience, Remember the kid? You've seen him. That just stands, I won't do it. While we did that to God, he still loves us. And verse 10 of Romans 5. For if we were while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more shall we be reconciled now that we've been saved by his life? We were enemies. God loved us. That's just, whoop. That's not normal for us. It is all of God. While we were enemies, God loved us. Again, he made the first move. If you look at verse 19, we love because he first loved us. He first loved us. We would not have loved him if he didn't love us first. We would not have known what love is if he did not love us first. So the very ability that we have is from God. Think of what you offer your kids and your spouse and your loved ones. You offer them this love. Just imagine that not even being possible. It's possible because God gives it to us first. That's the rad, amazing, awesome God we have. Is that he loves us first. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. If we get what we deserve, where would we be? 6 feet under, very well, Kathy. We'd be 6 feet under, and then probably further if we got what we deserve. But God's like, I'm not giving you what you deserve. I'm giving you my love. I'm giving you my son. We love because he first loved us. Isn't it a rad thought to think that when you go to bed tonight, you're going to go to bed with the perfect love from God? And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to wake up with the perfect love from God. Regardless of the anger that you go to bed with, regardless of the bills that you can't pay, regardless of the relationship that you messed up, regardless of the stuff that you can't kick, the addictions that you can't push off, God still loves you. And he's working with you, and he's working for you, and he's pulling you to him because of his love for us. So verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. That describes God's love, but it also does another thing. It describes our love. Which brings us to our next point. Our love is a response. Our love is a response. We don't initiate it on our own. It is all from God. We love because he first loved us. That's cause and effect. Reaction. Action, reaction. Electricity goes, you flip the switch, the light goes on. Light doesn't go on unless the switch opens the electricity. I know nothing about that, I just know that it works. Put the key in the truck, turn it on, it starts. Usually. It's cause and effect. We love because God loved us. It's an interesting fact that most of our love needs, right? The world's love. If you look at the world's love, it is temperamental, right? It's busy. It's compromisable. Made up a new word. Take that one to work. It's selfish. It's jealous. It's picky. It has a time limit. It has a shelf life. And if you're hungry, it's worse. If you're tired, it's worse. Isn't it rad that God's love doesn't change if he's hungry? I don't even know if God gets hungry. I don't know. Probably not, because he's spirit. But his love doesn't diminish. It doesn't minimize. God's love is perfect. Look at verse 7. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God, which means when we're born of God and we know God, we love. Again, it's a response. When someone comes to Christ Jesus and they're reborn in the Lord, they love. It is a response because of what God does. If you want a really cool little reading on your homework, look up John 3. Jesus is talking to the guy named Nicodemus, and he can't get past the words being born again. He's like, I don't understand. I can't go back in my mom's womb. What are you talking about, Jesus? Jesus is like, how are you a leader? You don't get it. It's spirit. You've got to be born with the spirit also. And when we're born with the spirit, we deny ourselves, right? We die to ourselves. We live for Christ. And Christ is in us, and we love because of that. So when you see someone loving, they're responding to God. They're not just a rad person. They might be a rad person, but they're not just a rad person. They're a rad person that's responding to God's love. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Oh, look, That's a response. It's a reaction. It's an effect. If God loves us, we ought to love one another. You should love the other one. Do you? Do you struggle to love people? Now, I don't want to get into minute details, but it doesn't say you have to like everything. It doesn't even say you have to like everybody, and that's a whole other argument we need to get to. But sometimes you really don't like someone, but you love them because they're God's child. They're your brother and sister, and you love them, but there ain't a lot about them that you like. That's between you and God. Work that out. Pray about it. But understanding who they are and what God has called you, because again, God loved us when we didn't deserve it. He expects us to love others when they don't deserve it. Are we doing that? Or are we saying, no, 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 no. If you do A, B, C, and D, plus the amendment like D, A, and D, B, then I'll love you. I'll like you after A, B. We'll hang out after C. But you ain't getting no love until you do D, A, and D, B. I don't know how all these letters are going, but you understand what I'm saying. Like if our love is conditional. Do you know anyone that's hard to love? I mean, you can answer it, but you don't have to because I know that you do. You ever wonder if you're hard to love for someone else? Have you ever felt like you needed to be loved? That sounds so weak, right? We're in the Western world, we need to be strong, assertive, type A, right? I need to be like that, but I'm 5'6", 135 pounds, ain't got that much, whatever. But you ever felt like, I need love, I need someone to love me, I need it. We all need it. God made us with needs, and he fills it. It's weird that he made us to need. Right? God could have made us to need nothing, to have no sadness, to have no weaknesses, nothing. But he made us really weak. Think you're strong, jump on a raft and jump in the middle of the ocean. You need God. Scary thought, yes it is. But God is love, verse 16, look at this. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That's a lot of wishy-washy thing right here. But I'll read it. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. He's saying, we'll use the word remain. Whoever remains in love remains in God. And it's not that, I don't think John is saying that order, because just if you're a loving person doesn't matter, automatically mean you're in God. He's saying those who are loving people the way that God loves, they're already hanging out with God. It's the response. Now, it's also the evidence. Our love is evidence. That's the next thing he wants to see. Our love is evidence. My wife and I, we like to watch shows, specifically one, but they're always looking for evidence. Evidence proves things. Evidence can affirm something, deny something, whatever, but evidence is a big deal. We do a lot of judging in our world based on the evidence. Someone's vehicle might be an evidence of their bank account or their debt. Who knows? But it's evidence of what they like. People's shoes are evidence of what they want to portray. People's music, that's evidence. The movies people watch, it's evidence. What people eat, evidence. Our love is evidence. Our love for God, first, our love for other people is evidence of our salvation, of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's evidence. And it, not that we need to go around judging people, but you can see it. We've said this before, but there are people that just want to be around you because you're different. There's something about you. It's God. Spoiler alert, right? It's God, and there's evidence of God in our lives. Let's look at some of these verses that just talk about the evidence. Verse 7 again. Whoever loves God has been born of God and knows God. If you love God, that's the evidence. You're born of God and you know God. You cannot do it without it. John 6:44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father sends him. Which means anybody who walks towards God and wants to be around God and learn about God, God is working in that person. Plain and simple. It is not a natural human thing to do. Our natural thing to do is rebel. Don't tell me what to do. Not that I ever have that opinion. Except on days that end in Y, right? I don't like to be told what to do. Is there evidence of God in your life? Verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God. Oh, there's the flip side of that coin, right? It's the antithesis, the opposite. Whoever does not love does not know God. Which means, we'll get to this in a little bit because we already read it, if someone is not loving, proof's in the pudding. The evidence is there. Your Honor, they say they love God, but they don't love anyone. Done. Guilty as charged. It's not my words, it's God's words. But does the world see that in our lives? It's a pretty strong statement. Crazy how much importance there is in the word love. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, if we love one another, there's your evidence piece. God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And 16, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. These are saying a lot of the same things. John is making it abundantly clear that love is the evidence. There should be, hopefully, a crazy amount of evidence in our lives that we love God, that we have a relationship with God, and we know God, not just know of him, right? Not that we just know who Jesus is and that there was a man named Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. The demons knew who he was. They didn't know him. They didn't have a relationship with him. He wasn't their Lord. They didn't love people. So whoever has this love in them has evidence. Verse 15 is interesting too. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. There's the evidence. You confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And again, not just the knowledge, right? Because again, the demons did that. The confession, I believe that's a confession of faith. The knowledge for sure, Jesus is God's Son, incarnate on earth in the flesh. He's our Savior. That is evidence of God in your life. Peter did it. Matthew 16, 15 to 17, Jesus is talking with him. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Only comes from God. You want to read some cool stuff? Look at 1 Corinthians. It talks about how we won't even understand anything spiritual unless the Spirit's talking to us. We can't. Right? If you punch me, I'm going to hurt. Punch me hard enough, I'm going to bleed. Punch me harder, I'm going to fall down. I am flesh and bone. I don't understand the spiritual unless God says, here's some understanding. Let me teach you these things. Let me make it real to you. You ever heard of someone who came to Christ late in life? Spirit breaks through. Where they allow God to speak. It's like, no, just they're just fighting and fighting and fighting. It's all on their own. And someday, things change with God. In verse 19 and 20, super hard. Super hard. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. It's just weird to hear that. He's a liar, right? For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. If we have people in front of us that are God's kids, God's children, that God knit together in their mother's womb, how, if we don't love them, are we going to love God who we have not seen? The love of God is insane. Insane in a good way. The Bible says, he created you in your mother's womb. Think about that. Think about God knitting you together in your mother's womb. Do you think he was sewing you together and he thought, man, her eyes are going to be really cool. I can't wait to hear her laugh because it sounds so much different than her sister. Even though you were going to sin, even though God knew you were going to rebel, he still kept putting you together. He knew the whole life that you were going to live, and he still kept putting you together. I brought this. Part of it was a fail. My grandma, who I love, knit me this probably 40 years ago. The dogs have gotten to it. The colors are rad. I was trying to use it as an illustration. I told my wife this. My grandma's in her 90s. And her brain is not firing as fast as it used to. And I called her yesterday or Friday and I said, hey, grandma. She lives in Idaho. And I said, you remember that blanket you made me? No. I'm like, oh! so much for this illustration, Grandma. But she's like, sounds like something I would do, right? So, but I like to look at this and think, I wonder if my grandma thought about me when she made it. I didn't need to deserve it. I didn't need to please her. And I bet she was thinking, well, that little redhead, that little rascal and his rascality, that's a new word for you, it's rascalness, whatever, and that guy, that little kid who runs around, God made you. He loves you. Before you could talk, before you could walk, he knows everything about you. He's given you his love. He loved you first. He gave you his own love. But that love is instrumental in our lives, right? It's a response. It's evident. And the last thing as we close this, our love is commanded. He commands us to use it. Let it sit for a minute. He commands us to use it. It's not a, oh yeah, hey, if Tuesday's going great, lunch is good, it's sitting there weird, it's 3 o'clock, you're kind of tired, but you love the guy next to you, the girl next to you, show him some love. It's not what verse 6 says. It's not what verse anything says. We are commanded to love one another. Verse 7, beloved, let's pause there. Look at the first word of 7, beloved. Look at the first word of 11, beloved. John's talking about love, talking about God's love, talking about the fact that we're supposed to love, and he's telling them, the readers, us, that we're loved. He's just doing it as he's talking about it. Beloved, let us love one another. And 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's not really a different way to take that. It's pretty self-explanatory. We're commanded. The cool thing about it is that God does it, right? There are people that are like dictators in this world, or they tell you what to do and they don't live it, right? Go do as I say and not as I do, right? I want you to do this, go do it. God did it. He did it first. He did it of himself. He had the love. He gave us the love. He gave us the example. He gave us the commandment. He gave us the power to love. He gives us the ability. He gives us the desire. But I think he also expects it to happen. Our love is crazy. Jeremy, you can come on up because we're going to end here in just a minute or two, or maybe an hour. We'll see how long I want to talk. The world knows we're different because of our love. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Ready for this one? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, all people will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. God does that. We don't have to say, I love you and I love Jesus. I love you and I'm a disciple of Jesus. Just love him. And some days it's hard. Some days it's hard to love your kids. Some days it's hard to love your parents. Some days it's hard to love your neighbor. But we're commanded to love. The greatest commandment is what? Love who first?
The Lord.
Okay, 6 of you understand it. Let me tell the rest of us. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is to love your
neighbor
as yourself. We don't need to be like the guys like, hey, well, who's my neighbor? Right? Everybody. Love them all. Wouldn't that be cool if you just said, I'm going to love everybody and let Jesus deal with the rest. I'm just going to love everyone. And there's days where I'm going to have God helping me because I just want to punch them. I mean, someone else does. I don't usually feel that way. But actually, I do often. But we're going to run out. But remember what God has abundantly? Love. I run out in like 8 seconds. Maybe 9 on a good day. My friends, my loved ones, don't let God's love escape you. Don't let the knowledge of it be fleeting from your eyes or your mind. Understand that it's from God. It's first, right? Before anything. Before you wake up, it's like love's just laying on your pillow waiting to give you a kiss. Our love is a response. Our love is evidence. Our love is commanded. I'm going to say a prayer in a minute. We're going to take communion. It's one of our responses. Responses to God's love that he loved first when he sent Jesus. If you have someone that you love and you think about their breath, their heartbeat, their life, you know how important that person is to you. Most of us wouldn't give up that person for a world, let alone a sinful world. But God, in his love, sent his son, and we know this. But some of us might not get it. Some of us might not be attached to it yet. And we're told to do this to remember. And Jesus, before we loved him, we were still sinners, still enemies, still running around against his will. And he said, I'll give up my life. He gave up his body on the cross. He let his blood be shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And for that, we thank him. We take this communion. So I'm going to say a prayer, kind of finish this sermon, and we'll have some instrumental music, and the tables will be open. If this is something new to you, maybe you need to just check yourself and, Lord, wow, what are you saying? If this is something old to you, let it be new again. Let it be bigger. Let's pray. Lord, your love is something that we really can't even put to words completely. And we're still not completely understanding all of it. And that will be for the end of time when we're with you. But you do give us more and more, and you teach us more and more. So we thank you for your love, Lord. Help us to respond to you. Help us to love others. Help us to be first lovers. Help us to love first. Please give us the love that is abundant, that overlooks sins, that makes it through trials, through good days, through bad days. Ultimately, we thank you for Jesus, for his body, for his blood that he allowed to be spilled so that we can stand before you, not in our perfection, but in Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.